This morning, I would like to talk a bit about God's creation and who created it. And on the surface, this sounds a little odd, talking to a church that believes that God created it and all things in it. And at least I think we believe that. So to start, I would like to reinforce the statement first by saying that it is true. So many people don't want to believe that anymore. Why? Why is it true? Because the Bible says so. And there are plenty of places in the Bible, even chapters of God telling us so. So let's start at the beginning. And we all know Genesis 1 to at least 5 or 6. And I'm not even going to look it up. We all know it. In the beginning, God created. And then in the first book of Genesis, the writer goes on to explain how. Well, not really how, except that he spoke and it was. Kind of when and who did it and how long it took. Six days. So why did he, God, make all this and what we see around us today? Why would God go to all this trouble and create this? Well, it's quite simply, actually. He created all the wonderful things, all of nature and its beauty, and the sky and the sea and the birds and animals and so on. Firstly, probably for his own satisfaction, and then he also created human beings in his own image to take care of it. So why us last? So we who were created in his own image would have a wonderful place. I lost my place. Have a wonderful place to exist, yes, but also to see and admire the beauty of God's handiwork. And through it, we were to humbly honor him and worship him and not his creation. So in Job 38 and 39, we have a good example of the fact that God created all things just by asking Job the questions that he's asked there. And I'm going to read a few of those questions. Job 38, 1 to 4, maybe 1 to 5, and then I'll turn to Job 39. This is where the Lord answers Job after all the complaining and all of his three friends there have said their bit and this young fellow has said his bit. And Job has one last speech and then God comes and speaks to him. And if this isn't two chapters that show us creation, I don't know where else in the Bible it is. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. And then he starts. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports and who laid its cornerstone? And I'm not going to read them all. But behind each and every single one of these questions, God could say, I did. Nobody else did, but I did. And so he goes on, and he doesn't even let Job answer right away. And he goes on, God goes on for quite a little while. In fact, talking about just the world or the foundation of the world and everything in it, 41 verses. And then in 39, he starts again. Do you know when the wild goats give birth? Have you watched as deer are born in the wild? Do you know how many months they carry their young? And are you aware of the time of their delivery? They crouch down to give birth to their young and deliver their offspring. The young grow up in the open fields and they leave home and never return. Do you know? And Job had to say, sorry, I don't know. And God can say, well, I do. I created it. Okay. So the one that really intrigues me was verse 13. The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but there are no match for the feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on top of the earth, letting them be warmed by the dust. She doesn't worry that a foot might crush them or a wild animal might destroy them. So God created all things, and he created all things differently. And the ostrich, when we read this, it sounds like it's, well, not very smart. And yet it's God's creation. And it works because there's many ostriches, even though she doesn't really care what happens. So God, no matter how hard we try, we have to say that God created. We didn't create anything. There's an old story of a fellow that confronted God and said, I know how man was created. And God says, okay, fine. Let's see how you're going to do this. Well, he says, you take a lump of earth, and God says, wait a minute, that's my earth. You start from nothing like I did. And although God was trying to teach Jonah a different lesson here, it is, however, a good illustration of how easily the creator can take them away. Jonah 4, 5 and 10, 5 to 10, another fantastic example of God and creation. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry about this? We all know this story too. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under it as he waited to see what would happen to the city. He was still waiting for God to destroy it. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. The way it reads here, I think it just got there. Who else can do that but God? Nobody. And then here in the next part of this, it shows how easily he can take it away. But God also arranged for a worm, and the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant and it withered away. God can take, God can make, and he can do it all the way he likes it done. And we're not going to change that, no matter how hard we try. So where am I going with this? Well, Carl Teichrib's book here, I'm going to read a few places and then you'll understand what I'm trying to get across. My eyes have been more wide open than I thought. I knew that this kind of idea of worshiping nature, and that God is part of nature and God is part of us and we are part of God, it was out there. But I didn't realize how far it has come and how far it will go. There was people out there doing this, but I thought they were a bunch of fruitcakes, and there was somebody on, and they were somebody on the fringes of society that didn't have enough to do, and so was thinking up all this nonsense. But boy, was I wrong. Now, everything that I'm going to read to you is readily available to be researched on the web, and it's written down in books. And if you want to, you can do it yourself, because I'm not going to read anything that I didn't check out myself. Are you ready? Lucifer comes to give us the final gift of wholeness. If we accept it, he is free and we are free. That is the Luciferic initiation. And it is the initiation into the new age. Now, this is written by a fellow that was at one of the conferences of witches and Wiccans. Man to nature's, man's oneness with all the lives of earth, animal, vegetable, mineral, and man to spirit, man's oneness with the more evolved life forms such as the Christ and the hierarchy, and the man's one with a God, the reality of one humanity, one earth, one planet, and indeed one life. What he's saying is, we are God. Think about what's going on. Know the signs. Anybody heard or remember Boutros Ghali? Was the head of the United Nations. And in one of the meetings, he wrapped up his comments with these words of re-enchantment. I should like to conclude by saying that the spirit of Rio must, remember Rio, the Earth Summit at Rio? That was what he's talking about. Must create a new form of good citizenship after loving his neighbors as the Bible required him to do so. Post-Rio man must also love the world, including the flowers, birds, and trees, every part of that natural environment that we are constantly destroying. Over and above the moral contract with God, over and above the social contract concluded with men, we must now conclude on the ethical and political contract with Mother Earth. With this earth to which we owe our very existence and which gives us life. To the ancients, the Nile was a god to be venerated, as was the Rhine, an infinite source of European myths, or the Amazonian forest, the mother of all forests. Throughout the world, nature was the abode of the divinities that gave the forest, the desert, or the mountains a personality which commanded worship and respect. The earth has a soul. To find that soul again or to give new life, that is the essence of Rio. He claimed to be a Christian too. One more. Maybe two. This is MCC. We all know MCC. I kind of hesitate to read this. There was a meeting of MCC, of the women that are involved with MCC. The title of this was called The Power of in the Blood, Women, Christian Ritual, and the Blood Mysteries. As women, we are now claiming ritual in our lives. Remember, this is an MCC meeting. We are creating together what has been left out of our church experiences. We are finding again the importance of our own bodies, whether through the blood of menstruation or the touch of another. We are reclaiming our ties to the great body upon which we dwell, Mother Earth. We are encountering new ways to connect with the Holy One. We are earth creatures. According to the story, we are earth, we are water, we are air, and we are fire. Are you starting to see where the world is going? Meditative quotes from Teilhard de Chardin and other mystics help set the book's mood. Global citizens, however, must do more than reflect on interdependence. Action is required. Readers are encouraged to write letters on climate change, eat less meat, to hold your city more accountable, become a member of Wildlife Protection Agency, and to integrate ecology into worship. This was said at Earth Trek, which was a youth thing that was a while back, about 2 or 3 years ago. Reminds us, MCC's Earth Trek reminds us to consider overpopulation, the support of family planning, organizations like the UN Fund for Population Activities. And up until now, it sounded pretty good when I read this. And then now, near the end of the book, a call is given to action. The bold emphasis on, this is in bold letters, this week make an offering to Earth in the form of a prayer to Earth. I didn't know why I should say this Sunday morning, because it's not a very easy topic to talk about, but we are in trouble. This earth is not going to, the people here are not going to listen to God. And yet, we are the ones, and God is the one who makes it all possible. Parents, if you ever hear the word Gaia, or your children come home with that in their books, be very careful, because Gaia is Mother Earth, and they are slipping it in under a different word because some parents still don't want to have, as soon as they hear Mother Earth and they start to object. Gaia is the ancient word for Mother Earth. The whole aspect of what's going on in the environmental movement, and believe me, I've researched it because I have time, is to go paganistic. We have to go back to the old ancient ways, otherwise we will not be able to save Mother Earth. People like Lloyd Axworthy are involved in this, some of the biggest actors, many, many people that we expect wouldn't be involved in this are involved in this heavily. So this is the word Gaia is the up-and-coming catchphrase of the day. The people behind this environmental movement are well aware that not everybody is on their side, and so we'll get around this by renaming Earth, and if they get into the minds of our children, then they think they've won. But remember that we and they are not in control. It is still God that is in control of his creation. So we are assured that after our Savior Jesus returns, and that after the happening, and after that happening, we who are believers in Christ will have a new heaven and a new earth to live with the glory of God forever. This is a certainty. It is a fact that we are guaranteed that this sin-ravaged earth will disappear. Beware of the signs. Romans 1, 18 to 21, I'm going to close with. Romans 1, 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful and wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds have become dark and confused.